The MLB trade deadline is approaching, and the Locked On MLB YouTube channel will be streaming the Hot Stove live. 2 hours of MLB trade analysis from our Locked On lineup of local experts. Subscribe to the Locked On MLB on YouTube page and tune in on July 30th, I should say, beginning at 3 p.m. Eastern. You will not want to miss this. How's it going, everyone? Welcome to a brand new episode of Locked On Phillies. Today is Thursday, July 29th, 2021, coming to you on the day after the Phillies had a game postponed due to COVID-19 issues. Again, the Nationals had a huge outbreak. 12 members of their team and staff and everything included tested positive for COVID-19. Of course, Trey Turner was pulled out of the game on Tuesday night after his at-bat in the first inning due to COVID-19 complications and testing positive. So Phillies and Nationals will play a doubleheader here today. They're in the midst of a four-game series. They won on Monday with the comeback walk-off home run by Andrew McCutchen. Lost on Tuesday, and 2 7-inning games coming your way today at noon. But first, of course, when the Phillies and Nationals play, that means I have to cross over with my man Josh Neighbors from Locked On Nationals. We talked everything Phillies, Nationals. Of course, Nationals going to be sellers at the trade deadline. Seems like everyone not named Juan Soto is on the trade block for them. Phillies, Tyler Anderson deal, if you haven't heard by now, has not gone through due to health complications with one of the players being sent from the Phillies to the Pirates. That deal is brought to a halt. Tyler Anderson is now a Seattle Mariner. So the Phillies, as of right now, have not done anything at the trade deadline. We have just a couple of days left. Again, Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern is the trade deadline for Major League Baseball. Phillies have yet to add anything to their team. At this point, I would expect maybe something minor. I'll be surprised if they do decide to make that kind of big splash. I think they were on the right track with that Tyler Anderson move, going for like a fourth spot starter. I cannot stand to watch Matt Moore start games anymore, Vince Velasquez start games anymore. I've been pretty clear that Spencer Howard at this point in the year 2021 is not a starting pitcher. I think everyone would agree with that. So definitely need to target some starting pitching, whether they go after a bullpen arm as well. That would be a huge addition for this team, or even say a bench bat. So certainly keeping my eyes on that, I should say, but we're in the middle of a Phillies National Series, so I cross over with Josh Neighbors. So without any further hesitation, you can take a listen.
All right, it's Locked On Phillies. It's Locked On Nationals. Dan's here. Dan, I actually spent the first minute of my podcast yesterday letting the people know that you were supposed to be on there, but you weren't. Maybe it was a good thing. I don't know. There's so much news right now at the Nationals. So let's just start there. Yesterday was a big day for both teams, but the Nationals mostly because, number one, it was announced that Steven Strasburg has got thoracic outlet syndrome. And so they're going to have to surgically repair that, which is really bad news. Most notably, Matt Harvey had that, and they are going to have to remove, if they go into your arm, basically your elbow, and remove some muscle and other things and clean it up. And then also during the game itself, Trey Turner was removed and everybody began to speculate that it was because he was being traded, when in reality, Trey Turner tested positive for COVID. And those tests come back while they're playing, which has always seemed weird to me, but I guess now with vaccinations, we don't really seem as mad about it, you know? But still, I know the Phillies are a club that struggled with vaccination rates, so maybe we should be a bit more concerned about that, about players testing positive. Really bad and weird day for the Nationals. I know they won a baseball game, but that really seems like it's actually not just secondary, but kind of tertiary at this point to those two other storylines yesterday.
Yes. At this point for the Nationals, I would say winning the game seems a little insignificant. Everyone was speculating why Trey Turner left the game. I think it was a good thing that he did not hug people on the way out of the dugout. That would have been bad. And it was not for the reason of getting traded that everyone assumes a guy who's on the trade block leaving the game is for that reason. It's also an interesting day for the Phillies, despite losing a game right before the trade deadline and just falling themselves into 500. If Josh, I had to have you guess, for the Phillies, last night was their 100th game. How many separate times do you think the Phillies have been exactly 500 this season?
17?
20. 20 different times, which I believe leads baseball. It has to be by far. 20 different times they have been 500. This team treads water like nobody else. whether it's win one, then lose back, lose a couple, win a few. This team knows how to find the 500 mark. It's exactly where they are, 50 and 50, as they enter the final two games here against the Nats. It'll be their final two games before the trade deadline. This team knows what they are heading into the trade deadline. At most, they're going to be two games above 500. At worst, they're going to be two games below 500. In all reality, they will probably be exactly 500. But because of the status of the National League East, because the Mets are where they are, none of the other teams are, as Dave Dombrowski referred to them yesterday, none of the teams in this division are overwhelming. It's a very winnable division.
Not overwhelming.
That is the word he used. They will be buying at the deadline. Everyone thought the Phillies had made a move yesterday for Tyler Anderson from the Pirates. Some dust settled, and he is now a Seattle Mariner. So the Phillies still have not done anything. Deadline coming up on Friday. We're a little bit more.
Wait, hang on.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Did you think he was a Philly also?
I thought he was a Philly also.
Yeah, so it's funny because so did Bryce Harper. The deal was apparently made. It seemed like it was made around 4 o'clock yesterday. And some time went by, and just before the game, there's a report of like there's a holdup. There were some medical holdups apparently on the players, the minor league players being sent from the Phillies to the Pirates. The Mariners swooped in with a better offer. The Pirates said we're not waiting around. And yeah, Anderson's a Mariner now. He's not a Philly. The Phillies have made still zero deals here as we are. What is the deadline is, what is it, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock on Friday? I forget which time it is.
If 4 o'clock, I
believe. Four o'clock on Friday. So we're recording this at 9 a.m. on Tuesday. So we're a little more than 53, 54 hours from the trade deadline. And the Phillies are 500, haven't made any moves. I still expect them to make some moves. They had a move kind of fall apart yesterday due to a medical mishap. But I would still say that they had the right idea, because I think pitching, and in particular starting pitching, is their biggest need. And I think you've seen that epitomized here in the first two games.
Hey, call about Max Scherzer, see what happens.
I think we've seen that, even though the Phillies won the first game of the series with a comeback walk-off home run and then a loss last night, we've seen the starting pitching issue the Phillies have epitomized here in the first two games of the series.
Look, I'm going to tell you what I told. I said this to Ryan Finkelstein yesterday, Locked On Mets host. I said to him, I said, look, you know, these teams, especially the Mets, I feel like this is not the year for any team in the National League East to make a move that is rash or panicful. And I mean that either way, right? I mean, this is not a time for the Phillies to go and get a John Means or a Kyle Gibson. And this is also not the time for a team like the Nationals to trade a Trey Turner. So I mean that in both directions. I think these teams need to do a bit more evaluation about who they are and where they are, and evaluate these groups before they make any calls. Because look, as much as you know, as much as Dave Dombrowski wants to say none of the teams in this division have been overwhelming, the Mets have still led this division for the better part of, what is it now, approaching 3 months, right? So the Mets, without sometimes Jacob DeGrom, with no Noah Syndergaard, with no Carlos Carrasco, with at some points, and you're losing Dave Peterson. I mean, this is a team that's been starting Jared Eichhoff, who is horrible, absolutely horrible, but is making multiple starts for them. They've started Robert Stock. They've started Corey Oswalt. They've started Jordan Yamamoto and Joey Lucchesi and Tyler McGill. This is a team that's been starting a bunch of guys they had no desire to start out of necessity because of how injured they've been. And yet they've had a stranglehold. And I know that the gap has not been huge, but they've had a stranglehold on this division. And make no mistake about it, if they get Carrasco back and if they get DeGrom back, that's going to be the best team in the division. But for the Braves, the fact that Mike Soroka's out and the fact that Ronald Acuna Jr. is out, it's going to be hard for that group of guys to stand up against full power teams like the Mets. Now, will the Mets even reach that point? I don't know. And I would even say for the Mets, this is not the time to make a move either, because for them, their window looks like it's next year. Their best chance is next year, I believe. With the fact that they've got a lot of guys under contract next year and the situation's going to be good, I would use this last half of the season, if I was the Mets, to evaluate who is their best team and what they need to change, as opposed to giving up prospects and making a bit of a move that would put them in a bad spot. So I think all the teams, I mean, for the Nationals, it's fire sale. But for the Phillies, the Braves, and I know Dylan Short wants the Braves to make a move. That's not the smart move here. They should sit and assess what they can do to be more competitive next year, because no Soroka and no Acuna is going to put them at a disadvantage. So I think that's where I'm at with what all these teams should do. Save the Nationals, because the Nats should sell it.
More Locked On Phillies coming right up, but first have to tell you that this episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all of the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing only the brands their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using rockauto.com. Why choose to spend 30, 50, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for more than 20 years. Rockauto.com prices are reliably low for every kind of customer. They have everything you can need: brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even that new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today and find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com.
Nah, I hear you. I have been largely negative for most of the season. I think all of the National League East hosts, anyone who listens to Locked On Phillies, knows that a month ago, I would have been surprised if you told me this team was in a position to buy. And if they were in five of the six divisions in baseball, they would be sellers right now at the deadline. They would probably be an irrelevant team for the rest of the season. They're not competing for a wild card for a reason. As I mentioned, they're exactly 500. But in this year's NL East, that keeps you competitive. And I've recently had a friend of both of ours, Anthony Nabundo, on the show, a few other guests who I've kind of been slightly softening some of my stances. Again, not because of anything the Phillies have done, but because, I mean, truth be told, none of the other teams' situations in the division are overwhelming. I'm looking at the Mets and, you know, I keep having the sentiment thrown in my face. And I'm
The Phillies aren't catching the Mets.
No, well, hold on. Well, so here's the only plus side that I've been hearing that, again, I'm not buying into. I'm not telling you. I'm not in no way am I predicting the Phillies are going to make the playoffs. But here are some things that are working in the Phillies' favor and reasons why I think the Phillies can justify buying more than I thought they were going to. The remaining schedule for the Phillies and the Mets bodes well for the Phillies. The Phillies are going to be playing a number of essentially AAA teams in the final 2 months of the season because of what they're going to look like post deadline. And they've had one of the most difficult schedules in baseball beforehand up to this point, and an easier schedule down the stretch. Now, we know the Phillies have struggled for years against bad teams. So I'm not trying to say, well, there's two out of three there. That's not what I'm doing here. Number two is in regards to the Mets, as you mentioned, they kind of aren't at full strength right now. DeGrom can't stay off the injured list. They had Lindor spending time on the injured list also hasn't been great for the Mets this season. Like, it's not as if the Mets are some powerhouse, I would say. I agree with you. I think the Mets are going to win this division. I think the Phillies ultimately come up a little short. But in my opinion, I think it's going to result in the Phillies making maybe some small marginal moves. Like, adding Tyler Anderson yesterday, even if that trade went through, is not the blockbuster move that adding a Craig Kimbrel, or a Chris Bryant is. I still think you can kind of make some marginal moves. They definitely need to clean up this rotation. I can't stand watching Matt Moore and Vince Velasquez and Spencer Howard, for different reasons, continue to start games for this team. So I would like them to see, but that's three guys.
This is what I'm saying is,
look, no one has been more negative about the Phillies rotation. Right.
Here's what I'm saying is for the Mets, they've got those guys waiting in the wings, right?
They're on the roster. You're correct.
They have three potentially really good pitchers, truth be told,
I would argue that more important than any of that, the Phillies need, like, regardless of what they do at the deadline, they're going to need Zach Eflin to come back and be like for them. They're going to need Aaron Nola to pitch like he has, more so in previous seasons than he has this year. This is not me predicting the Phillies are going to make the playoffs in any way. Again, if you ask me right now who's going to win the National League East, I would say the New York Mets.
But however, these aren't reasons why you buy. Like this is basically us saying that these things, these conditions have to go right for the Phillies to have a shot. Because look, right now the Phillies, I mean, the Phillies don't have a chance because they're not, their team is not competitive enough. I mean, you can't throw, like, look, let's be honest, the first game of the series, Philly should have lost, right? If Brad Hand wasn't horrible right now, Phillies lose that game.
Oh, and I agree. And their offense, they leave a ton of runners on base, and their offense comes out and starts, but is nowhere close to consistent enough. But I guess I would ask you, so if you're the Phillies right now, look, I was saying sell up until a few weeks ago. I just don't know, like, what is...
Tyler Anderson was a good move, but okay, I'm not doing stuff behind that. I'm like Rich Hill would have been a nice move for them too. That would have been a nice move.
So that would be so modestly buying. So we're on the same page then.
But Craig Kimbrell getting a guy
is not modest. I'm not telling you Craig Kimbrell, and
because people and sometimes don't even know reliever is modest, but he's the best closer in baseball right now.
And quite honestly, I would tell you that they need to address their rotation more so than the bullpen anyway. I know it can kind of have an effect
rotation,
both ways.
I agree.
I know it can kind of have an effect both ways. You go sign a closer, you move a guy like Ranger Suarez, who's shown the ability to give you multiple innings, and guys like Bailey Falter into roles so that suddenly your starters don't need to go as deep into games. But this team has struggled with starting pitching all year long. I thought before the season it was going to be the Achilles heel for this team. It has proven correct. I didn't think Aaron Nola would be as bad as he's been. And as I mentioned, if Aaron Nola continues to be the Aaron Nola we've seen for the first 3.5 months of the season, this team isn't going to make the playoffs anyway. And this is all moot point. So they certainly need improvement from guys who are already on the roster. I think they need to clean up the back end of this rotation. Matt Moore should not be in the rotation for even a team who is flirting with 500. I know they've won a number of, they're now 6-3 in games that he starts. I know they've won a number of games that he has started, but he's
it doesn't mean he's
a good pitcher, right? Yeah. It's not necessarily an indicative stat. They're not even his personal wins and losses. It's less indicative of that. But then you also look at last night, like certain things that need to clean up. I wouldn't be playing Didi Gregorius as much. I actually thought last night was Matt Moore stinks, but Didi Gregorius' defense was horrible last night. You have a play in the first inning.
It's been bad for a while now, hasn't it?
You have a play in the first inning last night where he basically doesn't charge the ball, get it out of his glove fast enough. And was it Trey Turner who beats it out at first base, or was it Trey? Yeah. Okay. Wait, so I think it was Trey. This was the first inning. It was ruled an infield single, and we're sitting there in the first inning.
Let me, it was Trey.
Okay. Yeah. So it was Trey Turner. And he reaches on the infield single, and then ultimately a Josh Bell three-run home run scores Trey Turner, and that led to a Juan Soto single, and then Josh Bell homers. And then, as it was pointed out on the broadcast, Hoskins is holding the runner on, the entire complexion of the inning changes. Who knows where that inning goes? Even more specifically, in the second inning, there was a Victor Robles leadoff walk, and earlier in that at bat, he had a pop-up down the left field line that definitely should have been caught by Didi Gregorius. It wasn't. Matt Moore ends up walking. And it was full count. Matt Moore should have thrown him a better pitch to the eight hitter at that point just to try and get him out. So I'm not letting Matt Moore off the hook here. But I'm saying Didi had two costly defensive plays, and this is not anything new for Didi or the Phillies in general. Defense costing them ultimately leads to a Juan Soto three-run home run. Phillies down 6-1 trying to come back. They were actually in the exact same situation as they were the night before, down a couple of runs, Brad Hand against the top of the order. No such luck for the Phillies.
Hey, can you explain to me why the Phillies fans are booing Juan Soto? Is just because Philadelphia has to boo one player? Look, and you know me, this is not
Bryce Harper gets booed everywhere he goes.
This is not me speaking out of turn about Philadelphia fans. You know, I'm very familiar with them. So I'm not speaking out of turn. So but he's super likable. He's not, Juan Soto's not the equivalent of throwing the horns down, an Oklahoma player.
Well, he's a guy every time. Look, I actually do like Juan Soto. Yeah, besides loving to have that guy in your team for all he does on the field, I actually find his I don't know if there's a charming, like charming
it's,
is the
it's,
word.
It's antics. Antics. It's charming. They're charming. Like the
slide. I kind of find it charming. Like I kind of find it like kind of funny when he does that shuffle in the box and
yeah, and other know, guys have started to do it too. It's not like you know it's which is
well,
funny.
He's super into the bat, but I don't think you can blame. Is you would know this better than I. He can't. Philly can't be the only city he's getting booed in. Bryce Harper gets booed in 29 cities in baseball.
I mean, maybe Houston. Well, Houston's going to boo everybody who remains that 2019 team.
And the Houston Dodgers gets booed everywhere. Look,
the Dodgers.
Look, they don't. They don't boo nobodies. If you get booed in Philly, it's a sign of respect because they know who you are, and it means you're really, really good.
Are we
and
sure
you're
it's
on
a
the
sign
radar?
Of respect, Ben.
No, I am a long standing believer that if you are booed in the city of Philadelphia, it's a sign of respect.
Does this mean respecting Ben Simmons or what? Is that a?
It's different with your own players. When an opposing player is getting booed, it means you're respected well enough that you did something to be booed. Look, no, you know, they weren't booing Victor Robles last night. There's a reason Juan Soto was getting booed, right? Eric Fetty wasn't getting booed off. Unless you specifically say something or do something to piss the fan base off, Juan Soto is getting booed because he's the face of the team right now, right? And so that is the sign of respect.
Final segment of the Locked On Phillies, Locked On Nationals crossover coming right up. But first, have to tell you about BetOnline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Baseball season, it's in full swing, and you can track all of the action at BetOnline.ag. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including Major League Baseball, the NBA, NHL, and all of your UFC, MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get in the game as teams make their runs towards the postseason. Head to the website, use your mobile device to sign up today, and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit when you use that promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts.
I have two things for you. Number one, two guys I think the Phillies would love to have, actually, you mentioned them. Eric Fetty and Joe Ross, definitely. I mean, they'd love to have a guy like that.
It would clean up the back end.
Those guys would clean up the back end
of the rotation, yeah.
Yeah, as far as back end guys go, those guys have been really, really strong. I want to ask you this Trey Turner thing. If you were in the Nats position, with this dearth of shortstops coming up in free agency, and Trey's got one more year control, would you trade Trey Turner? I wouldn't. I think that if you've got Trey and Juan in your lineup, as long as you've got those two guys, we've seen it before, right? All they needed was a third guy, Kyle Schwarber, and their entire lineup changed. Would you trade Trey Turner, or would you re-sign him?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been a fan of Trey Turner. I don't think I would be – if I got the right – it's probably a situation where if I got the right offer, I would listen to it.
Like you have to have the doors have to be blown off you. Like, you have to be really impressed by an offer.
Yeah, I mean, the Nationals are in a position where they are – what are they? They're standing right now fourth place in the division. They're 7.5 out. So they're clearly going to be sellers. Correct me if I'm wrong. I've gotten the sense that the Nationals are at least listening to offers for just about everyone on the team, not named Juan Soto. Like, it seems.
Yeah,
like
I don't think anybody can make an offer for Juan Soto. I don't think there's.
So I'm saying, if your name isn't Juan Soto, I don't think I would necessarily, you know, put the money down on the fact that I would be on the team on Friday night. So, from that perspective, but no, I'm not just letting Trey Turner go for the sake of letting Trey Turner go, if that's your question.
Yeah. It's interesting. My last question for you is, if the Phillies end up making a move? It's a bad question. Let me hit the rewind button. What is the move you think they end up making, like the big move, if they do make one?
I think we'll end up seeing, I don't know exactly what name it's going to be. There's been a number of names kind of thrown out there. But it'll probably be for, you know, like a number. I thought the idea of going after like a number four starter yesterday was appropriate. I think you're correct. I don't think any team in the NL East is in position right now where they should be going, like, just throwing all the chips down on the table and saying, we're going for it. This is the year we're going to win the World Series. What I do think they should do, and what I guess I was trying, my overall point that I've kind of eased my tone on, is I've gone in the past month from the Phillies should absolutely be selling they have no chance to make the playoffs to saying, well, they have enough reasons in their favor that even if I'm not predicting them to make the playoffs, they can now justify, between the fact that you're in year three of the Bryce Harper contract, he still hasn't made the playoffs. You're in year one of the new JT Realmuto contract, he still hasn't made the playoffs. You don't want to just give another way of these guys' primes away. I don't like the necessarily the way they have rebuilt, and I put rebuilt in air quotes because it wasn't really much of a rebuilding process. They kind of just expedited the process and bought their way here. But they're clearly wanted to win this year. They went and got the president that reflects that in Dave Dombrowski. He is not the rebuilding guy. He's the guy that if they're close, they're going to go for it. So I have come to terms that they're trying to win this year, but that doesn't mean they should go aggressive. I would love to see this team go over the luxury tax and signal that this ownership group is serious about winning. They have yet to do it up to this point under this ownership group. We will, you know, see whether they do that or not. But ultimately, if I had to guess, I think we see a Tyler Anderson would have been the move I ultimately expected. Giving away prospects that are not high on the radar for a fourth starter, a guy who can go deep into games. My favorite Tyler Anderson stat for, you know, a few hours yesterday is that in all 18 of his starts, he's gone, I believe, if it was either five or six, five innings plus.
It's five so innings, yeah.
Five innings plus. And that is exactly what the Phillies could use. You know, he's not going to blow anyone away. You're not necessarily circling the calendar every time he starts, but he's going to keep you in the game competitively, go five in, like in a way that, like I say jokingly, like, well, Matt Moore has kept the Phillies in some games. And Tyler Anderson will actually keep you in the game. You're not dreading, okay, how are we going to manage our bullpen every time he starts the same way when Matt Moore goes out there, or Vince Velasquez goes out there, or Spencer Howard, who can't go further than three innings, goes out there. So I expect a couple of moves like that. Maybe they go add a reliever, because it seems like this is the time of the year that, I'm not saying Craig Kimbrell, but a reliever who isn't really on the radar. You can usually get those guys relatively cheap from teams who are selling and just want to get rid of, you know, an expiring contract, and relievers bounce around all the time for nothing anyway. So I would expect a starter or two, maybe a reliever, maybe a bench bat. When all is said and done, I don't see the Kimbrell thing happening. I don't see the Chris Bryant thing happening. Maybe I'll be incorrect, but that's probably the move I anticipate happening. And in all honesty, it's probably the smartest thing the Phillies could do right now.
Yeah, all right. I'm with you there. All right, Dan Wilson.
Well, you don't sound so sure.
No, Look, I actually think you made a really good point for once. I think you made a really strong point with, look, these guys are in their primes in racing here. Yeah, I mean, you've got a lot more of them coming up, but still.
Do they? The Phillies don't have the strongest.
Well, no. But here's what I'm saying is that it's like, I don't know, once again, if these are the conditions in which I would say, like, all right, this is the time to let's see. Like
you were talking about the Mets having brighter years ahead. Like, I, in terms of the Phillies, I was saying sell a month ago because I didn't think they had any chance to make the playoffs this year. So you might as well play for next year.
If you all had a piece that you guys could keep control of next year, I'm okay with those moves because it helps build the team down the line. So,
but in the short term, I'm not looking at the timeline and saying,
don't send crap over to anybody.
They're not rebuilding for the year 2024 and 2025 and saying, well, in a few years, this is all going to come together. Like, that's not what this team.
Well, no, I'm not saying they should. I'm just saying, don't make a move that you lose a guy. Like, don't lose prospects because you want a guy for the end to the end. No rentals, for the Phillies. Do not do rentals.
No, this is not the 2016 Cubs. They should not be trading away, regardless of what he's turned into, Gleyber Torres for Aroldis Chapman.
Right. All right, Dan. I always appreciate talking to you, man.
Always fun.
That's going to do it for my conversation with Josh Naber. Special thank you to him. Always fun when the Phillies and Nationals play each other. Always fun crossing over and talking some Phillies and Nats with him. If you want to give him a follow, at Josh Naber's _ Locked On Nationals, a follow at @LO_Nationals on Twitter. Of course, give myself a follow at Dan_Wilson4 and the podcast page at @LO_Phillies, where you will see every new episode that gets sent out. NBA Draft GOAT Chad Ford, Locked On NBA Draft host Rafael Barlow, and Locked On NBA host John Karolis will be live this year covering the NBA Draft. It's Locked On NBA Draft 2021, brought to you by Built Bar. Get local expert analysis on each and every pick. Follow Locked On NBA on YouTube today and watch our live coverage July 29th. That's tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern.